Okay, hi everyone. My name's Eva. I live in Santa Cruz, California, and I'm so grateful for everyone who's doing service. Thank you. And I'm grateful for our attendees. We need you to be here, particularly the newcomers. So anyway, I'll start with some statistics. I made some notes. So I have health issues with memory. So if I talk in circles, please forgive me. So I've been abstinent since July 5th, 2012. I've been in program for 9 years. I started at 230 pounds, and as of today, I weigh 116. So that's a loss of 114 pounds, which is an absolute miracle. It's just unbelievable because I was a grazer, and I always had something in my purse or in my desk, so that I could just keep eating all day long. And I was basically struck abstinent. Thank you to God. So let's see what it was like. So when I was young, looking back, I know now that I was a sugar addict. I remember being, as soon as I was tall enough to stand, I would reach into this cupboard that was like floor level and gorge on sugar. I loved sugar cubes. That was my favorite. And then as I got older, maybe around 6 years old, I had relatives that would visit from Germany, and they were my favorite relatives. And I find out now that the reason is they would bring me 2 pound bags of sweets, and that's what made them my favorite, and as I got older, let's say in high school, when I got a driver's license, I was so excited because I could go through the drive-through by myself and no one would know. And I would take my friends out. I was like the first to have a car. And so, what my day looked like is I would get up in the morning and have breakfast. At school, I would have a snack. Then I'd have lunch. And when school got out, my friends and I would go to a restaurant and have lunch. And then I'd go home and have dinner with my family. And then I would go to my part-time job, which was at Macy's at the candy counter. And what a great, job for a food addict. And I've had to make amends to Macy's. And I did that by estimating how much sweets I took and how many hours I worked. And I figured out a number. And it was over $1,000. And I sent a check to Macy's headquarters with my amends. And I never heard back, but the check was cash. So I'm assuming that my apology, my amends was accepted. So, that's when I was eating kind of structured. And as I got older, the disease progressed like it always does for all of us. And that's when, I started working part-time and I became a grazer. And I just never stopped eating, and it was all sugar and flour. I would stop on my way to work and get some stuff, and anyway, it was pretty bad. And so, when that stopped working, although food was my constant, that was my constant drug, basically. But I started turning to other substances to satisfy my cravings. And as I put one of those things down, I went back to the food. And then I'd put the food down for a while and go back to one of those other things and then come back to the food. It was this constant cycle. I have a disease of addiction, and it depends on which coat it's wearing at which time, how that expresses itself. And so it started out with sugar and food in general, and then, it became drugs and alcohol, and then back to the food. It was bouncing around, and I was miserable. By the time I was 30, I was 200 pounds. I kept drawing these lines in the sand that I swore I would never cross. Oh, if I got to 175, I'm going to do something. And I did commercial weight loss programs, and they worked for a while, but I never hit my target weight. And I thought of it truly as a diet plan, that if I got to my target weight, they called it, or my goal weight, they called it a goal weight, that then I would finally be able to eat. Now, what kind of thinking is that? You know, that's just crazy. And so, you know, then I ended up at 200 pounds, drew a new line in the sand, you know, then it was 210, whatever the numbers were. So at the end, I was 230 pounds. I remember in July of 2012, or no, late June, being at my nephew's wedding. And, you know, I wore my fanciest dress and dressed up as, you know, what I thought was the best. And now I look back at those pictures and I look at my face and my eyes and I was miserable. And that was true at home too. I would wake up every morning wishing I were dead. You know, I didn't have the courage to kill myself and I didn't want to do that to my family and friends. But every day I, you know, I woke up disappointed that I was still there. And then the spin would start, you know, what am I going to get? How much am I going to get? Where am I going to get it? Is it healthy? Do I have to share? Should I hide it? When am I going to get more? This constant spin and terrible self-loathing, you know, that was a big deal for me. I couldn't look in the mirror without hating myself. And so I came to program. I happened to be an OA 90. I'm not here to say that that's better than any other program. The best program is for you is the one that works for you, you know. And I didn't know what OA 90 meant, but I ended up in one of those meetings. It frightened me when they said no sugar, no flour. So I was in the front row of the meeting. And they said, you know, give your number and, you know, other people will give their numbers and are people available to sponsor? And all of this just sounded impossible to me. I couldn't handle that sense of intimacy that the program was offering. So I just bolted out of there. And then, you know, the Dove commercials came out where they said, you know, big and beautiful is great. You know, so I decided I would do that. And so I got a new wardrobe, I got a makeover, and I still woke up every morning wishing I were dead. And so I was in another program and I had found my higher power that I call God. And so I started praying for willingness. I mean, I didn't understand that the other program told me that God would solve all my problems and he wasn't solving these problems for me. So I prayed for willingness again, you know, to go to OA. And that's what happened. I was kind of struck abstinent. I'll back up a little bit. I was in a meeting of the other fellowship and this woman stood up and she was sharing from the podium. And she said, I gained and lost 100 pounds in recovery. And I just thought, what does that mean? You know, how did she do that? So I tracked her down after the meeting and I asked her and she said, I'm in OA 90. She showed me her pictures, her before and after pictures. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I couldn't even see her face under all that fat. It was just incredible. And so I asked her how she did it. And she said, meet me at this meeting, you know, on what Tuesday night at this place. And I said, you know, okay. And so I went to the meeting. I sat in the back. I was like sweaty. I didn't look at anyone. I looked at the ground, you know. I stopped wearing clothes to the meetings. It was summertime. So I would wear a bathing suit with a big muumuu over it, thinking that everyone in the meeting would think I just came from the gym down the street and that I had just worked out, you know, that was the gig, right? And no one believed that. So they came up. Let me back up. So I was sitting there and I heard someone share at podium level and I heard my story. Now, that person was talking about, you know, the incomprehensible demoralization, the self-loathing that happened. And they did things that I did with food that I didn't think anyone else did, nor would they admit at podium level. You know, she said she would gorge on all this junk. She said that she ate out of the trash. I ate out of the trash. So I heard my story and it wasn't, her story wasn't mine, but what I felt were the similarity in the feelings.
Gentle reminder, 5 minutes left.
Thank you. So anyway, I came to program and I did everything she asked. You know, she said, no sugar, no flour. You're going to call three people times a day. You're going to call me every day. I did all that stuff. You know, when she said it, I was like, no, no, no. And my brain said, yes, I said, okay, to everything. And so I did what she suggested. And as I told you, I lost 114 pounds. And today I am happy, joyous, and free. I love my program. I love the structure of it. I write out an action plan every night. For the next day, I write out my food, everything I need to do, everything that's connected to a time in my schedule. And I make sure to, you know, do meditation and prayer. And I do that when I do my physical therapy. I do some surrender positions, and that's when I pray. So anyway, when I got my sponsor, my current sponsor, I had to switch a couple of times because my previous sponsor and I became too close. We're really close friends. And so she felt like she couldn't be my sponsor anymore because she couldn't discipline me. So anyway, my current sponsor, I'm vegan. My current sponsor is not vegan, but at the beginning I got her because she had what I wanted. So she's a carnivore. She hunts, you know, kills animals. And I don't agree with that, but we don't talk about that. We talk about the food plan and we talk about how my recovery is going. So I know people want to know what I eat. So I do the same structured program as everyone else does. I have the same categories, you know, protein, vegetables, fat, starch, but my proteins are different and I'm going to name specific foods here. So if that doesn't work for you, you know, step away for a little bit. So what do I eat for proteins? The rest of it is the same. So I made some notes here. 2 ounces of nuts, nut butter and seeds, 2 vegan eggs. I like the product called Just Egg. It tastes exactly like eggs and it's made with mung beans. I eat 4 ounces of tempeh or tofu, 6 ounces of beans, lentils, split peas, edamame or peas, 6 ounces of hummus with no oil if I make my own, 4 ounces of hummus if you get it with oil, but then you have no added fat for that meal. Some people do some things that I don't do, and these items are 2 ounces of vegan cheese, 1 veggie burger, and what I was doing was the complete veggie-based kind that is veggies put together. I've never eaten those processed ones that are trying to be like meat. That just disgusts me because I don't want meat. I don't want anything that is trying to be that. Other things are 8 ounces of nut milk, 8 ounces of plant-based yogurt, which is high in calories and low in protein. So you would add 1 ounce of hemp seeds. These are things that I got from a vegan person that I was temporarily sponsoring. So that's why I say I don't do these things. Protein powders. I'm not sure of the serving size. I think it's like 1 scoop or 2 scoops. You need to look at the protein and you want to get around 10 ounces of protein. Vegan cheese that measures to 10 grams of protein. Again, I don't like processed things, so I don't eat that. I already went over the veggie burger. So
every reminder, 1 minute left.
Thank you. So, you know, all those things are, you know, whole food, plant-based, you know, the only processed things really I eat are the Just Egg and the tempeh and tofu. I don't know if I mentioned edamame. That's one I love instead of beans because beans are high in carbs and my body's really sensitive. If I add just a little extra fat or just a little extra carbs, I start gaining. So, you know, I needed to gauge what would work and what wouldn't work based on the vegan proteins. But I love my food plan. I love being vegan. I was struck vegan. I never thought I would be able to maintain it. I've been vegan for about 2.5 years and I never want to go back to a meat or even a vegetarian food plan because I don't like the way they you know, industry handles chickens for eggs. If you've ever seen any of those documentaries, you know, they're really inspiring from an environmental level and from an ethical level. And those are the two things that really motivated me. I wasn't worried about my health because I was already doing an OA 90 food plan, and I knew I was getting enough food and that it was nutritious. So with that, I'll pass. I'm going to give my phone number. You can call or text if you're interested in more information or if I went too fast with what I was talking about. So I'm in California Pacific time. My cell number is 408-460-3115. And actually, please text first, because otherwise I won't answer. I'll consider it spam. And if you're an international person, please use WhatsApp only. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And now we're going to go to our next speaker, which is Nakia.
Yes, good morning. Hi, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well this morning. I'm Nakia, compulsive overeater and food addict, and I'm in Seattle. And I wanted, hopefully I can do this okay, show a picture if I can picture. So that, is that, you guys can see that. So that's me before I came into program. And this is me more recently. And you can, well, that may not, me more recently. And there's been a lot of life in between there. I, you know, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be able to be of service this morning and joining everyone else. Thank you all for being here. And it's a great way to start a Sunday morning. When I think about what it was like, I think I'll just share. You know, I grew up here in Seattle, and I was a skinny kid. I didn't really begin to gain weight until I hit puberty. And around that time too, I also got my first job. I was a waitress at a retirement home. That was a bad combination because I had a lot of access to food. Throughout my teen years, you know, I was certainly steadily gaining weight. Also, I come from a family of addiction too, so it's to no surprise that I would have these struggles. But throughout high school, I always thought I would do like a sport or get active, but I never did, and I was steadily gaining weight. I didn't have a scale in my house growing up, but somehow, some way, I must have been able to weigh myself or something. Nonetheless, I knew that I was gaining weight through high school. And even in, we used to be weighed by the nurse's office. And I remember, I think from one summer to the next, being weighed by the nurse's office and gaining a significant amount of weight over that period of time. And I remember laughing, and I didn't think it was funny, but I was embarrassed. You know, so my top weight to my knowledge was 256 pounds. And I was really just existing, you know, in my life. I was not living at all. And as a result of being overweight, I was in a lot of despair, and I was depressed. And I, at one point, I was taking antidepressants in my life as a result of that. I wasn't participating in life. You know, everything, every event that I went to was all about the food. I couldn't engage in a conversation with you because I was stuffing my face. I would do things with food, stealing food at babysitting jobs, buying more than one meal, you know, all kinds of notorious behavior that I imagine we've all heard of before. And what happened for me, I had never heard of OA before. I had heard of Al-Anon and AA before because of my history. But I heard about a 12-step food program. And I ended up going to a local meeting here in Seattle. And I remember hearing my story. I remember hearing that I wasn't alone. For so many years, I thought that I had that this was a moral issue, you know? And it was such a relief for me to realize that it wasn't a moral issue, that in fact, that this was a disease. And not only was there a disease, but that there was that there was hope, that there was an answer, that there was a solution. And I remember just being so encouraged that day, and so so happy that I had found a place where I no longer felt othered, or that I was problematic. And, you know, that began my, that was in 2004, and that began my first initial experience with OA. However, I spent about five years or so in the different formats of OA. And during that time, though, I was chronically relapsing, and not really having and maintaining any success as far as abstinence is concerned. I too, it's kind of funny that both Keith and I here work the 90-day format as well, which also really that catapulted my recovery, in the sense of it was really here that I learned that no matter what, no matter what, don't eat no matter what. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to show that picture in the beginning and the other picture from more recently is that there's lots of life that has happened in between those pictures. And I am a person who loves quotes and words. I think language and words are very, very powerful. And I have this one quote that says, my name is Nikia and I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm worthy of all the love, beauty, that recovery, the love and beauty that recovery holds. For such a long time, I did not believe I was worthy. That was evident by how I continued to harm myself with food time and time again. As a chronic relapser, especially before I began to work this more structured format of program. As I mentioned, it really catapulted my recovery and made a huge difference. I think that program is a program of humility. I believe that program is a program of transformation. I am reminded on a daily basis that I cannot afford to rest on my laurels. I'm reminded, like it talks about in the big book, that God helps me do what I can never do on my own. I'm encouraged by the reminder to rely on an infinite God rather than a finite self. When I say don't eat no matter what, don't eat, I've been able to have testimony to that in my life, of course, besides a committed meal, that is. But I've gone through I've had a lot of loss, some loss. You know, I had my dad passed away. He had a major stroke 7 years ago, and he wasn't able to recover, and he passed away. But I was able to be present for him during that time at his bedside in the hospital, you know, when he was in essentially in hospice and when he passed away. So I was present for that grief in the moment. I continue to be present for that grief since that time. My sister, I have a couple of sisters, but my baby sister, my youngest sister, she passed away 3 years ago. That was very painful, but I did not eat over her passing. I was present for that grief then, and I continue to be present for that grief now. And that's just a testimony of what relying on an infinite God can do, right? Because I can never do this on my own. When I think about transformation, I think about the transformation in my own life and the transformation in relationships. Like before, I believed in a higher power whom I call God, but I wasn't as closely connected to God as possible because the food was a barrier, and food prevented me also from being in full effective relationships with others as well. And I, when I think about restoration, I think the biggest restoration, I was thinking about this morning, is relationships with my mom, you know, because it's through program and through being in recovery, you know, that that I have the relationship with my mom that I have today. My mom has the early stages of dementia, and she's not able to live on her own. And I was just thinking this morning about the joy that beams from my heart in the relationship that I have with her today that I wouldn't have if I weren't in recovery. And I'm so thankful that the food is down and that I can live in the solution today. You know, there's a lot of hope here, you know, and I would say that if people are struggling or having a hard time to not give up before the miracle happens. To be reminded that you too are worthy of all the love and beauty that recovery holds for each one of us. I have been able to do things I never thought were possible. You know, the physical recovery is really just a fringe benefit. So I've been able to let go and surrender 115 pounds and maintain that. But I do think today, like run half marathons. And I never would have thought that that would be possible for me. And even it's hard for me to even refer to myself as an athlete. I'm like, whoa, I'm an athlete? Really? Me? Nikia? Nah, that's not true. But it is true. It's true. You know, I get to live my best life. I get to live my best life. And it's not easy, but it's worth it. So I'm grateful to be able to.
5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm grateful to put in the work, you know, one day at a time. You know, so I use all the tools. I have a sponsor. I sponsor at least 3 individuals. I go to meetings, at least 3 meetings a week. I do the telephone, making 3 phone calls a day and being available to receive phone calls as well. I utilize the tool of writing. I do inventories. I do 4-step work. I write down my food on a daily basis and I commit that to my sponsor. I have an action plan that also helps support my program. I practice anonymity, which is not only a tool, but also a tradition of our program. And I do service doing service inside the rooms, outside of the rooms. The biggest, I've heard it be said, and I would agree, the biggest act of service that I can do is the service of being abstinent. Because being abstinent, you know, I get to be my best self. A prayer that I do pray and have prayed is that I be the woman that God intended for me to be. I think I'm more able to be that woman in recovery. And as a result of being in recovery, I feel like the sunlight of the Spirit has the opportunity to exude freely from me. And I'm grateful for that. You know, so a little bit more just about the diversity of food plan. I have 3 meals a day. I weigh and measure all my meals. I don't have anything in between. I commit my food to my sponsor on a daily basis. I don't change my food. I think it's easy to be, I have to be mindful that I don't take my will back. So just because something doesn't sound good today and I wrote it down yesterday, that's not a good enough reason to change it. You know, the only way I would change something is if it's gone bad, if I've dropped it on the floor or something major like that has happened. But even then, I just don't do it. I connect with my sponsor before I make any changes and touch base about any needs that I may have. So, you know, I have 3 meals, 3 weighed and measured meals, and I live life in between, you know, and it is such a gift. There's so much freedom to know that I don't have to worry about what I'm going to have. And, you know, part of my life before too is, you know, trying weigh and pay programs and self-help books and all these things. And I'm so grateful that I found the solution here and that I can have this food plan that really works for me, that really supports my nutritional needs. You know, so for breakfast, you know, I just weigh and measure my food. I don't know that I want to get into specifics about, you know, what I eat specifically. But if folks want to know, people can call me, and I do welcome phone calls. But I think I know I'm getting close to time, and I feel like I'm rambling towards the end here. But I just really, really want to express that there's hope, and I wouldn't just encourage everyone to not give up before the miracle happens, and to be reminded that you are worthy of recovery. As well. And I think that's about it. I will also leave my phone number, which is 206-313-2825. That's Pacific Standard Time. Folks are welcome to call me anytime. If I miss your call, I will return it. I also say too, you know, if you're, you know, I'd rather you call me rather than pick up the food, you know, because if I'm available, I always do answer my phone if I am available. And if I can't, I'll call you back as soon as I can. Thank you so much for allowing me to do service this morning with you all.
Tanja, you're muted.
Oh, should I begin?
Yes, Carl, you may go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Carl, recovered food addict. I live in the Charleston, South Carolina area. I've been in OA over 30 years, and I have a little over 6 years of abstinence. I'd like to begin with a third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Well, I'll tell you, God and I like to joke around with each other sometimes, and I'm going to speak of the 11th step later, so I'll tell you, God said to me one day, he says, Carl, you know, let me tell you what my take on the 11th step is. At last, now we get to do things my way. So that's what my higher power has to say on that one. Anyway, I'd like to speak a little about diversity in food plans, then a bit on my story, then my food plan, and I actually am going to talk about three food plans that I follow, and then finally I'll conclude. So diversity in food plans in general, the topic of this being, of course, is diversity of food plans. And I think the best service I can be is to tell you what my specific food plan is, but to say that that is only one example of no doubt many possible food plans. And higher power leads us to the food plan that we need. And what works is what's needed. The big book says love and tolerance is our code. So I like to practice love and tolerance as far as food plans go. What someone else's food plan is their business and their higher power's business. However, every food plan must follow the OA definition of abstinence. And that is, abstinence is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards maintaining a healthy body weight. So let me go into my story. Excuse me. I suffered from sexual abuse in not only my youth, but even as an infant. And I also suffered having food withheld from me as a punishment when I was a boy. I know these things because my mother told them to me. I grew up in a hateful and scary world. I hated God, myself, and other people. And there was plenty of pain in that. I thought God hated me. And there was plenty of pain, and food medicated all that pain. I think I can summarize things by saying that I've gained and lost 2,000 pounds in my life. 100-pound spread was about the worst it got. I had many different spreads. And when I was younger in college in particular, I tried to commit suicide many times, 40 or 50 times. So this was not a fun addiction. However, the good news is that I've had 12 spiritual awakenings. They began in 2009, 12 years ago. And that was the greatest experience of my entire life. I found out God loved me. When I found that out, everything changed in my life. I mean, everything. Today I'm in love with God, and I know God is in love with me. And I consider myself to be the happiest man on the earth. Well, my food plan. I have three food plans, really. One is my physical food plan, one is my spiritual food plan, and one is what I call my planetary food plan. So first, I'll tell you about my physical food plan. My food plan has categories of food with specific weights and measures. I'm not going to tell you all my meals. I'll just tell you my lunch as an example. For lunch, I have 6 ounces of fruit, 13 ounces of vegetable, 6 ounces of protein, 2.3 ounces of dry grain or 4.6 of cooked grain, and a tablespoon of oil. I can choose within that whatever fruit I want, whatever vegetables I want, etc. And I consider that my food plan is spiritual as well as physical. When I weigh and measure my food, I'm surrendering to my higher power. And that's the spiritual part about it. The great part is that also that I don't have to think about my food. I don't have to wonder whether I'm hungry. I may feel hungry, but when I've finished a meal, I am full. I may not feel full. I may have food thoughts, but I am full. My body has been nourished and it's done and over with. The previous day, I always email my food plan to my sponsor and let him know. And we talk. My sponsor and I, when I first came in the program, we talked every day for 15 minutes. Now we talk 3-4 times a week, approximately the same time. I can never have flour, sugar, coffee, or artificial sweetener. They activate my compulsion. So that's my physical food plan. My spiritual food plan is basically the 11th step. Regarding even my physical food plan, my higher power is a lot smarter than I am. And my higher power led me to my food plan before I even knew anything about food plans. So my spirit needs nutrition just as much as my body does. And for me, my food is to do the will of my higher power. My food is to do the will of my higher power. And that's what gives me purpose and energy in my life. My basic purpose is to be in union with God, to move from self-sufficiency to God-sufficiency. That's what gives me purpose in my life. The big book says, for example, talking about the 12 step, it says life will take on new meaning. And that's what's happened to me. I'm happy, joyous, and free today, and I have a purpose in life today. Consider for a minute the 11 step promises from the big book. The first promise is that we will be in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Well, when my spirit is properly nourished with the will of God, that promise comes true in my life. The next promise is that my life will be more efficient. When my spirit is properly nourished with the word of God, with the will of God, rather, that happens to me too. And finally, the third promise is that I will not tire so easily. And when my spirit is properly nourished with the will of God, it happens to me. I don't tire so easily. So now I have a purpose, and purpose makes me happy. I consider myself the happiest man alive. It's even been shown that people with a purpose live longer than people who don't have a purpose in their life. And the big book says we never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. And here are some of the things that God has enabled me to do in my life and through the purpose that he's given me. 6 years ago, I dedicated my life to helping compulsive overeaters. That's been a wonderful experience. I've written 4 books, and there's a new one in preparation right now. I've written 1,400 poems, and they're all about my higher power. And then 4 years ago, it was about 4 years ago, I and my sponsees started Back to Basics in OA 90. And there have probably been 300 to 500 people, both English and Spanish speaking, who have gone through Back to Basics. And I've personally done probably 60 of these and
taken a gentle reminder, 5 minutes.
Thank you. So anyway, that's I'll mention one other thing that the Big Book says. It says there has been a revolutionary change in my way of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of total failure of my human resources, I found a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction which flowed into me. So that's what my spiritual food plan is like. Now my planetary food plan. Everyone knows that there's a climate crisis. I wonder if people know that meat is a primary source of global warming. That's why I follow my third food plan, a food plan for the planet. And that food plan is to be a vegan. God led me to that about 5 years ago, just like he's led me to everything else in my life. I'm not proposing that everybody be a vegan any more than I'm proposing that everybody have the same food plan. Love and tolerance is my code. However, here's some facts about meat and global warming. There are 51 billion tons of greenhouse gases which go into the air every year from humankind. 19% of those come from farms and pasture. And cows in particular, although other animals, pigs, sheep, goats, etc., bring those gases. And gases which those animals bring are particularly toxic to the atmosphere. Methane and nitrous oxide in particular come from the belches and the gases of cows and those other animals. And those gases are much worse, much more toxic than carbon dioxide. Anyway, meat eaters produce about 2.5 times as many greenhouse gases as ordinary people do, meat eaters do. And so even if on our planet, even if all our power were from electricity and from clean sources of electricity, the animal sources of our food would still be there. And the UN has said that food and production of food, especially meat, is one of the worst problems of food that the Earth faces. So what I would encourage, however, regardless of whether a person is a vegan, any way that meat can be cut down in one's diet, that's probably the biggest thing that I can do for global warming. So anyway, I've spoken to you about diversity of food plans and my physical food plan, my spiritual food plan, my planetary food plan. God has done wonderful things for me. He's done way beyond what I could do for myself. I'd like to conclude with a blessing for everyone. May the blessing of the higher power be with you until the sea loses its salt, until the trees forget to bud in springtime. In case there are any of my Spanish friends here, let me say that in Spanish. Que la bendición de poder superior esté contigo hasta que el mar pierda su sal, hasta que los árboles se olviden de brotar en primavera. So thank you very much. I'm Carl. I'm a recovered food addict. And I'd love to hear calls if anyone cares to do that. I am 727-244-8976. That's 727-244-8976. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Carl. Thank you. Thank you to all of our speakers. We will now have open sharing and questions if the speaker wants to do questions. If you would like to share, please use a raise your hand function by clicking the reactions button at the bottom of the screen and choosing raise hand. If you're on your phone, find it under more, then reactions. If you can't figure out how to raise your hand, type your name in the chat and say you want to share, or say your name in between shares if on the phone. Please recognize the timer when you hear it and quickly wrap up your share. The floor is now open. The floor is now open for share. Linda? Who's called?
Good morning, everybody. This is Bonita. I'm a compulsive overeater and grateful to be here. And, you know, the main thing I heard today is that how I eat and how other people eat can be very different, but we can still have the same goal, and that's the freedom from this disease of compulsive eating. And also that my higher power is in charge of what I eat. And over the time I've been in this program, my higher power has changed things in the way I eat and the foods that I eat. And for me, I guess because my higher power knows I'm not one for settledness. So when it's time for certain foods to leave my life, my higher power makes it extremely painful in my digestive tract. And no matter how much I try to believe that it really is not going to hurt this time, it does. And so after a couple of times of trying to convince myself that this really is not what my higher power wants, I finally realized that, no, you can't have those things because, well, it's like this. I can have whatever I want, but am I willing to deal with the consequences once I get it? And I don't want the pain. And some of that pain is very, very, it's painful. So I listen to how my higher power guides me. I listen to how my higher power guides me on how much I need to eat and what I need to eat. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful, you know, I heard in a meeting a while back, someone shared that they were talking to their sponsor and their sponsor said to them, the way you eat would kill me and the way I eat would kill you. And, you know, it's so nice to be able to know that it doesn't have to be the same. And we can still help each other and still be supportive of one another. So I thank you all for sharing, and I'm very grateful for that. And Carl, I'm grateful that you brought up the fact that I also have to have nourishment for my spirit and for my emotions and everything else. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Bonita, for sharing. Looks like Sarah's iPad is next.
My name is Sarah, compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. Can you all hear me all right? Okay. So I'm during the pandemic, I read a book that convinced me that I needed to be eating differently. And it was a very powerful book about a woman who began to eat. I think her plan was more vegetarian than vegan. And I've been doing this slowly, moving towards a vegetarian or vegan type of diet. But I wanted to hear from the two people who talked about being vegans, how they, you know, my question is, I guess, how they got to the point where they're now eating vegan. Did they start out eating meat, or I mean, what convinced you, what made you turn to vegan eating?
I could comment on that, and then perhaps okay. The other speaker. Well, I had already been eating an abstinent food plan, and on that food plan, I had 6 ounces of protein at lunch and at dinner. And actually, it was incredibly easy for me to switch. I switched out meat and I switched into beans and tofu and things of that nature. I also had a cup and still do have a cup of, at that time it was dairy. And now I use soy milk. That Frankly, I love soy milk. It tastes like cream to me. No kidding. It's really good. And so that's all. I really enjoy my food. And, but, you know, I won't, I'm not going to pretend it didn't take a bit of getting used to. So that's what I would say. And I know there's another vegan here, and I forget her name. Eva, perhaps you had some comments.
Sure. My name's Eva, food addict in California. For me, it was, well, I'm a scuba diver, and so, which thanks to program, I can do that at my weight. So I have a real connection with the ocean. When I'm at the ocean or in it, I really feel my higher power speaking to me. And so I've seen a lot of documentaries, and Cowspiracy is a good one. The one I found that was most helpful for me is called The Game Changer. And it's with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who used to be a big, giant beef eater, you know, and he is now vegan. And so he tells his story there. As and there's, you know, there's a woman who cooks for a National Football League players that she knows. She cooks these huge vegan meals, and they come up, the players come over and they love it. And they've noticed that they've improved in their game because of it. There are scientists on that film who show some of the players the sexual side effects of the program, which was much better. Their sex lives were much better. And then they did some testing on how much fat's in the blood. So they took the blood of three players and then showed them a vial with what their blood looked like and how much fat was in there. It's just a remarkable documentary. So that's a good one to watch. So what happened for me is I saw a documentary about being vegan and the ocean. And as I walked out of the theater, I thought, you know what, if I care about the ocean as much as I say I do, I need to stop eating meat. And so I became a vegetarian for 2 weeks, and then I was sort of struck vegan one day. And so I switched to a vegan food plan, and I actually loved it. I loved it. And I was such a meat eater, you know, I was eating ribeye every day. And I never thought that I would ever be able to be vegan. Throughout my life, it was in my mind, but I was like, you could never do that. And so it was truly a miracle that I was just struck vegan. That was, you know, that's God. That's my spiritual connection with God. You know, he told me basically to do this. And like I said, in my qualification, I've been doing it for 2.5 years. And as time passes and I have, you know, anniversaries of that, I'm just so happy and so grateful. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. I don't see any more hands up. Oh, wait a minute. I see Calg, C-A-L-G. You'd like to share?
I had to figure out where my mute button was. Great meeting. And I love the fact that we're talking about diversity, and I love the sharing, and I love it's just, even on Zoom, I feel, and I go to a lot of meetings. I need to qualify. I'm a compulsive overeater who's abstinent, been in the program approximately 30 years. And I know a lot of people, and I see a lot of new people, and that's a good thing. And I feel a good spirit. I just want to share this too. This, you know, and I'm kind of, I guess, kind of folksy this way. Even on the Zoom, and I go to a lot of Zoom meetings, I feel a good spirit this weekend with this meeting. It's just something to, I'm just loving it. But any event, I love the fact that we've grown over the years to where we have the flexibility in a food plan and that we can talk about it. However, I've also understand that as a compulsive overeater, a person who's addictive and has the disease of compulsiveness, that I need structure for me. And the fact that we can all structure this to what we need and we can all talk about it and that, and for me, weaving in the spot, I just want to say for me, and I love the fact that our journey is sort of individual, that a spiritual program is real important. And that cross-talking with Nikki, I'm glad you brought that up in your talk, and I'll follow up with you a little bit because I'm interested in some of the things that you shared in that respect. But in any event, because I'm constantly, like the rest of my program, I told folks, you don't graduate magna cum laude or sigma cum laude. You're still working this program one day at a time. And that's the excitement and joy of it. So again, thank you guys. Thank you guys in the convention who've done all the beautiful work. Enjoy it. Not cross-talking, Tanja, but I enjoyed that game night last night. And thank you guys for all the work that you and Toby and all the rest of you guys have done in making this program work. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Toby, yes, please.
Hi, everyone. It's Toby, compulsive overeater from the Atlanta area. Just wanted to thank all of the speakers, but I wanted to ask Nakia, you mentioned something about having this plan and a plan for days in advance and never changing your mind. Like, I have these food groups and I tend to swap in and swap out, but I realize that I am kind of obsessing about changing my mind within my plan, you know, for meals. And I'm wondering, how did you get to that point where you could plan ahead and just never deviate from that plan?
Well, I think it was a process. I mean, I think earlier on, I think my experience with my food plan was so willy-nilly, and whatever I wanted, whatever and that was my best thinking, which really didn't work for me. You know, so I think realizing my experience beforehand helped me to come to a space when I was working this more structured format that it would be my best interest.
But you do know, you eat the same things all the time? Because
no.
I fall into that habit too.
No, I don't eat the same thing. I mean, I think about I think about certainly what I have, so I commit to only food that I have in my house. And I think the night before I have a journal that I keep all my meeting stuff in, and I write down my food plan for the day. So I think about breakfast and what I'm going to have for breakfast. I think about lunch and dinner, and I write those down. And then once it's written down, it's done. Unless before I text it to my sponsor, I need to make some change or something, I will cross the line and I'll make that change. And then I will go ahead and send it to my sponsor. But I think it just comes with just practice and just taking it one day at a time. So I think it could be overwhelming to think about, oh, today's Sunday, let me plan my food for the week. I don't do that. You know what I mean? I take it one day at a time. So tonight I'll think about my day tomorrow and I'll think, okay, this is gonna be my plan for tomorrow. So I just take it one day at a time. And I think, you know, that saying about habits, right? You know what I mean? So just taking it, you know, and then soon you'll build up a habit, and I imagine. So I don't know I hope I answered your question. I don't know if I did or not. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Tanja, you have a question?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. The speakers have been great. My question, and I guess any of you all can answer this, is how, when you're sponsoring other people, do you, I shouldn't say require, but is a part of your sponsorship relationship that you all have a similar food plan? Like, how comfortable are you with sponsoring people who may eat differently than you do? Or do you think that that doesn't matter?
Hi, it's Eva. I can comment on that. No, the answer is no. I've sponsored people who eat meat. I've sponsored vegetarians. You know, if they come in with a program that they had from a different sponsor, I work with them on that program if it works for them. And if it's a newcomer coming in, I ask them what kind of food plan they would like. You know, would you like a carnivore or a vegetarian or a vegan food plan? And I explain to them a little bit about why I became a vegan and what the environmental effects are and what the health effects have been. And I talk it through with them and we come up with the best food plan for them. So no, I do not require it. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you.
Carl, recovered food addict. I kind of sidestepped that program, that question, because frankly, I sponsor people in the steps and I don't sponsor people with food plans. And so I don't have to deal with that. And I don't feel comfortable working with people on food per se, to tell you the truth. Let's see whether something else I was going to say. Oh, I know. I think that the real bottom line on a food plan is that it must come from an outside source. I can't select my food plan because I'm powerless over food. And if I select my own plan, then I'm asserting my own personal power. I don't have that power. I'm powerless over food. So sometimes people will say to me, well, I have this, that, or the other kind of problem with food. I have an upset stomach, or I've got, fibromyalgia, all the kinds of things that people can run into. And I say to them generally, well, go and see a doctor or see a nutritionist and get a food plan if you need it. You can get it from a sponsor in a program too, like I'm in OA90. People get a food plan from their sponsor. So all of that works, I think. He is really not make your own food plan. That's disaster. That's what I've got. Thanks.
And I would just...
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just adding nothing too much different. I mean, I also too... we'll work with people with whatever their food plan is. I think, and we just have conversations about it. So just wanted to share that.